something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It is Trina Mara, and I've got some very famous people on the phone today. Laura and David Costello, who are now celebrities as a result of being on DIY SOS on Sunday night. They had the house renovated with Baz Ajmawi. You were saying to me, David, you suddenly realised what trending meant.
No, absolutely. I actually had to message. I got a message from one friend and said, Laura's trending on Google and she's trending on Twitter. I said, oh, that's nice. I had to text somebody else and ask what trending was. I wasn't, not that I'm completely digitally illiterate, but I just had never thought of it before in terms of the context.
The whole country were watching there on Sunday night, and I think we were all just blown away by your amazing wife. I actually crossed paths with Laura before myself about 3 years ago, and you were saying she was always so kind to everybody. I was talking to her about Alzheimer's and how a family member of mine had been diagnosed, and she said, you know what, we're going to meet for a coffee and I'm going to talk you through everything that you need to know. She met me in a Costa Coffee and I thought I was going to be there for about 10 minutes, and 3 hours later we were still sitting there and you were saying, yeah, that's Laura.
No, I remember, and look, if Laura could help somebody, she'd always throw her time and energy behind it. It's just who she is. She always looks out for other people, still does. Like you say, meeting for a chat to share her experience of caring for her mother with dementia. She was always first to volunteer. Like, she was on the board of the kids' schools before she got sick.
I just can't understand how she even had the time to do all this, because, I mean, you have a hectic house with your 100 children that you have there. Take us back to when she was expecting baby Daniel.
Yeah, so it was Laura's fourth birthday. She woke up as normal that morning, early in the morning. She may have woke up 2 or 3 hours before that, knowing she was in labour, and decided to let me sleep for a little bit longer. She could have been up all night. That's what she did in previous labour. She would have been up all night and then woke it. We're 5 hours in, we need to go. Like, Laura's sister came around to my kids early that morning. We headed into the rotunda. I was actually sitting outside the rotunda hospital listening to radio shows. At the time, people were giving out about restrictions and about trying to go on holidays. And here was I sitting outside. The maternity ward not allowed in, like, you know, and it was really frustrating. Because her labour's normally happened really quick. That day her labour took longer than expected, and it was later that evening when I finally got a call from Laura telling me, David, no, this is happening now, you need to get up here. And as I get into the room, Laura's giving birth. Her waters were broken and the baby came really quick, but in that last push something happened that Laura just she just stopped responding. Then she stopped breathing, and the next hour we really didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I just handed the baby and a bottle and try and give him his first feed, and I didn't know whether my wife was alive or dead in the next room. It was just horrendous, you know.
Oh God. I can hear it in your voice, David. It's hard for you even now to recount the story.
Well, listen, I suppose I spent over a year just seeing it happen over and over again. It's horrible. Like, people often say, oh, you're very strong, how do you get through it? But it's hard. Like, it's the type of experience that you carry with you for a very long time. I still carry it with me. Just knowing she was in there, you were powerless to do anything about it. And she had a team of some of the best doctors in the country around her, I suppose, trying to get her back. And 44 minutes later, her heart spontaneously started again. Laura put that down to her mother looking after her from heaven. Like, you know, she'd say, like, I looked after my mum, she looked after me.
Yeah.
And she just, her heart spontaneously started beating after the 44 minutes. They managed to stabilise her and transfer her up to the Mater Hospital, where she got a brain scan, and the news was, this is not good, and there was a severe brain injury there. So she was in ICU on breathing support and ventilators and monitors, and she was sedated, heavily sedated for a long time to keep her in a coma, and she was weeks in ICU, and she was in the HDU, and then she moved down to a ward where we met some fantastic people. It was the acute stroke unit in the Mater. She was being fed through a tube, she couldn't speak. Obviously, she had a visual deficit called left neglect over one side, so she was blind out of one corner of her eye. She lost peripheral vision, and she couldn't speak, she couldn't read, she couldn't communicate with us. And that went on for weeks and weeks. Daniel was obviously born on the 30th of June, and the first time Laura spoke was actually on the 9th of August, and that's my birthday. I left her the day before and said, now, come on, Laura, you're not able to write me a card this year. I said, the least you could do is wish me a happy birthday tomorrow when I come in. And of course, I was just trying to motivate her. We were constantly just trying to motivate her and motivate her. I went into the hospital that morning. One of the junior doctors was on, and she came out and said, David, Laura's been practicing something since 3 o'clock this morning. I got to go into the room, and she managed somehow to whisper, happy birthday, David.
See? You know? She really is a Wonder Woman, isn't she?
Well, that's what I said. I told her, like, you know, I left there and said, like, no, you need to do this tomorrow. And she woke herself up early and practiced until she got it that morning. And within a few days, she was starting to say more and more. And it became very clear all her memories were intact, or a lot of her memories were intact.
Yeah, yeah.
She was asking for the kids. She was able to tell us what the favourite toys were. She knew Thomas was starting school in September and wanted to know if I had the uniform ready.
Stop it. Ah, God.
And actually, the truth be known, she knew that this summer might have been a hard summer because of the baby being born. So she had already got the uniforms and everything ready. Like, you know,
of course she had. Obviously, you had a newborn baby. You had all the other children. Laura was so ill and you needed, I assume, work as well. How did you manage everything?
Well, listen, things have to be done. The mortgage has to be paid. We'd only bought this house in the year before. We're actually living in the family home that Laura grew up in, and we bought the house from Laura's family when her mum died. There's no maternity leave for dads when something like this happens, and as I quickly found out, even though I had the same responsibility because Laura wasn't here, like Laura was out of the house for 18 months after Daniel was born, but Daniel needed a parent in the house with him.
Come here, you know, even if you could have put him in a creche wouldn't have even taken him for a year till he was a year old.
Wouldn't have taken him, yeah. But like he deserved to have a parent with him anyway. I worked in St. James's Hospital at the time. They were so understanding and so supportive. I got signed off with stress, obviously, but imagine you have to sign off with stress to look after your baby when something like this happens, that you're not allowed to take that maternity or parental leave or whatever you want to call it, you know, to look after your child.
You should have been entitled to Laura's maternity.
Exactly. Yeah. But I was able to get sick leave off work, and then we had awesome friends and family. Annie and Jim went ahead and set up the GoFundMe page, and they said, no, you're not going to spend the next 6 months a year struggling. And they went out to raise a few thousand euros just to help us with childcare, just to help with the lost wages and stuff like that, to try and get us through the first year. But in actual fact, they raised enough money for us to be able to get a van as well to help Laura for transport, because obviously Laura's in a wheelchair.
Isn't it crazy, David, that's not just automatically provided for you? It's not a want, it's a need.
I know, it was a need. We needed a van. We needed to be able to transfer myself, five kids, a carer and Laura wherever we wanted to go when Laura got out of hospital finally. There was things we could get that weren't available in the health system. Like, that just brings me back to the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dunleary. Oh my God. Laura spent a year in there and they were like family. COVID restrictions meant we could see Laura once a week. It was bad enough in the first 6 months. The baby barely got 50 hours with his mummy in that period of time. The other kids barely got to see Laura. Bar when we got to sneak them into the underground car park, and I'd go up to visit Laura and say, oh, I'm just taking Laura down to the shop. And he'd sneak her down to the underground car park to see the kids. The sacrifice of not seeing the kids was well worth the progress she was making in the hospital. Laura couldn't straighten her left leg to get it on the ground. Now Laura stands on a device called a standing turner for transfer. That's down to them. Laura had to teach herself to read again, teach herself to write again. She did all those things with the support of the OT and the speech therapy crew in there. Laura's speech, well, she started to speak herself and pushed her along. The help of the speech therapist, you know, was amazing. The music therapist that they had in there, just to try and give Laura a bit of tone in her voice. We'll sing, like, we'll do things through music, and we'll learn things through rhythms that you already know. And there's no physiotherapy, intensive physiotherapy out there for people like Laura after they've been discharged from hospital. And it was only through sheer luck we came across a not-for-profit, a charity organisation called On Sale, based in Santry, literally across the road from the house. They provide intensive neurorehabilitation in a day centre they have in Santry. It's between 4,000 and 6,000 euro just to get 6 weeks in the place, you know. We've noticed massive improvements. Laura can do a full sit now from lying down. She can take her whole core strength from lying down to sitting up.
Stop,
you know.
I couldn't do that in a million years.
I know, last week she was able, sitting in the wheelchair, she was able to reach forward and hold onto the table and take herself from sitting to standing.
Yeah,
you know?
She's going to walk. Laura
wants to walk again. I was telling you about her awesome friends who got us through the first year and it was the van and all the rest. They've put up a renewed appeal on their GoFundMe page as well for Laura. It might take us from going from being able to get 12, 18 weeks of therapy in a place like On Sale to getting Laura the 12 months that she needs over there.
The GoFundMe is love from Laura. David, tell me about the renovation then in the house. When was that finished? Because obviously we saw it on our tellies on Sunday, but it was done a while ago.
Oh God, you're asking me dates again.
Oh no, don't need dates.
I remember the dates of my own children's birthday.
Well, that's because you have 100 children.
I know, it's terrible. No, it was finished in November last year.
Well,
so we're 5 months back in the house. She got home and she spent her first night next to Daniel in the cot. Get a bit of use out of his mammy beside him.
Yeah.
And the fair is, like, she had spent 18 months away. She deserved a sleepless night or two as well, right? get up there, look after your child, you know. But no, jokingly aside, just to hear your child breathing at night and odour beside you. It's just, I know, it's something very special.
How has this renovation changed your life?
Listen, when we were taking Laura home first for visits from the hospital, we were greasing her up the side entrance. The wheelchair barely fit the side door. The house was all chipped and broken because of the wheelchair bashing up against it. So now Laura is in the front door of the house, which is just amazing. Not only that, then downstairs they've designed it in such a way that at the end of every long space there's enough space for Laura to turn in the wheelchair. The bathrooms are big. The upstairs bathroom has a wet room for Laura to get ready and shower in. They've put a lift into the house so Laura can get upstairs. She can get into the kids' bedroom and sit beside them while they're going to sleep, read them a story, hold her hand, do whatever she needs to do to be a mammy. But they did more than just the functional stuff. Like, the house is proper beautiful as well. Like, you know, stunning. Like, and there's all those amazing companies that, you know, I still have to get a list of them and write to them all and say thank you. But I tell you what it was, but when we came into the house, and I think you'd seen it in the TV show, we obviously heard the stories of all the volunteers in the house and how many of them there were. But when we walked into the house, there's just this energy in the house. I don't mean to sound strange about it, but it was like you could feel that there was almost love and atmosphere in the house that was left behind by the people who were working on it.
To get people to, number one, volunteer, but also to be able to find a builder who's available is quite the feat.
But they didn't just find a builder that was available. Like, I was told it was between 60 and 100 people on site a day here.
And the neighbours were sound. They didn't mind drilling and everything day and night.
I tell you what, we have some of the best neighbours you'll ever meet in Santry. Like, neighbours had containers with equipment put in their garden. I'm sure there were portaloos in somebody else's garden. There was production cabins in another garden across the road here. Sure, their driveways and their roadways into their house. Sure, half of them had to park their car outside the estate and walk in. And they all did it because they love Laura and they know that she's the type of person who'd do it for them. We're forever grateful for that.
You can tell, David, the two of yous are just mad about each other.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Laura will tell you that I chatted her up, but I think it was the other way around. She was trying to lure me in for ages, you know.
Was she? You know, I was saying to you, David, I was saying, oh, so God, sure, myself and Laura went to the same secondary school, although she's a bit younger than me. And it turned out you went to the school, the boys' school at the back of me. And you were like, oh, yeah, sure, we used to be up chatting up the Merrifield girls. So actually, you could have been,
funny,
you could have been chatting
her. Laura, like.
You certainly weren't chatting me up, I can tell you that much.
Can we check that before I agreed to the conversation? Yeah. Like,
come here, but, is Laura going to give me any time today? You were saying you normally have to book an appointment with her to have a dinner with her because she's such a busy woman. Will she have time to talk to me?
Absolutely, between her rehab and her media appearances. No, I'll get her for you now, sitting in her bedroom here. Now, I'm going to stick Laura on speakerphone, so I hope the sound is okay.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
It's Trina. You remember me? We met in Costa Coffee a few years ago.
I do.
And you were spoiling my little girl. Isn't it brilliant being home?
Yeah, they're 18 months away.
18 months away. Your house is fabulous. Are you able to get in that front door?
Yeah, it's very different to getting in the side. I used to have to get in the side of the house.
And it's much easier now, is it, for you to come and to go?
Yes.
Do you get to do the stories often with the kids?
Most nights.
I know that you're going to walk again. Do you know it yourself? Do you feel it yourself that you are going to walk again?
Yes. In Onsell, I go to a place in Sadri where I practice my walking.
That's really handy that the place you go to is just across the road, isn't it?
Yes. It means I can spend lots of time with the kids.
Loads of time with the kids.
Tina, when I was very sick, David took my maternity leave. So he used to bring Daniel after me in the matter.
Because you have so many children there who need you, don't you, Laura? And David says that you're the organised one in the house, aren't you?
I've always been.
So you're
I'm glad we got to show Race for Forever and the other third embolism and early onset dementia. And they showed the video that I made for Mum. With their pictures, with optimism and determination, anything's possible.
You're doing everything they thought you wouldn't do. You're an amazing woman. And Laura, your mum was with you that day, wasn't she?
Yes, because my heart stopped for 44 minutes. And the last thing I did before my heart stopped was give birth to this Daniel. Because he's the only grandchild mum didn't meet.
Is he?
And I think because I was her carer for 2 years, I could spend lots of time with her.
Yeah.
And she loved her grandchildren. So I moved back here to my tent hall with Thomas and Matthew. And on Fridays, I used to have them in the double buggy and Mum in the wheelchair. And we used to go to Joe Jingles.
Really?
So she's a play school teacher, so she loved music.
So you managed with your mum in the wheelchair and the double buggy. You see, you are Wonder Woman.
My friend said that a GoFundMe paid the money. It's going towards helping me rock again. My kids believe it. So do I.
Isn't she amazing? Laura and David Costello there, who were on DIY SOS over the weekend with Baz Ajmawi. The GoFundMe page is Love from Laura. Please give something if you can, because obviously, as David mentioned, the physiotherapy is €1,000 and Laura needs as much as that as she can possibly get to help her walk again. It is something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.